Inch by inch, row by row. We start the show off every Saturday with that. That, to me, is the perfect song to start talking about gardening. Well, what another wonderful day on the Central Kenai Peninsula. A little cloudy, and boy, I'll tell you, what do you think about that thunder and lightning yesterday and that heavy rain? Like we used to say back in the Midwest, it's raining like a cow peeing on a flat rock. My goodness, there was some rain, but the thunder and lightning was the cool part. Now, we grew up in Missouri where we had thunderstorms pretty regularly, and I'll tell you what, it really was kind of cool last night to sit there and still listen and feel that thunder and see that lightning. We had a lightning pretty close to the house one time. So I don't know if it hit, but it was certainly bright. So anyway, be safe out there. But that was a wonderful, wonderful experience yesterday afternoon. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And so did my wife. Our cat was scared to death. She was slinking around like a mongoose, hugging the floor, running around the house. She was a little bit scared. But other than that, everything's hunky-dory, and she's okay now. So anyway, you just heard that forecast, and maybe some rain today, rain tonight, rain Monday, rain. Chance of rain Tuesday, and it looks like now going up until at least Friday, there's a chance of rain all week long, which is okay. It's not that bad, but one of the things we have to be careful about is make sure the things you have in your garden that might be ready to harvest, that they don't get so wet and that they rot underground. Now, if you've got a good, well-draining soil, then that's probably not going to happen. But, you know, one of the things I'm looking at doing, I checked my potatoes in the containers the other day, and I stick my hand down in the soil and kind of feel for potatoes, and I got potatoes there, but it's been so wet, and I've got my container set up so they drain well. But I think what I might do, I'm either going to put a clear tarp, a clear sheet of plastic over all my potatoes so no more rain gets in, because I think they've had enough. They're getting close. They're not really dying yet, the vines, but they're starting to look a little peaked. And my wife had a good idea. What I might do, if I don't get a tarp on them, I might use my little tractor with some pallets, and I might move my potatoes into the garage. I've only got 12 containers this year. I take that back, 15 containers this year, I think. And it'd be really easy. I'll just put them on a couple of pallets. I will move them into the garage, let them dry out, and I mean really dry out, and just kind of keep them in the garage and let them age, let that soil dry out, and see how they do. I don't think, and I've used the tarp before on my potatoes, and that works too. But I'll tell you what, they are really wet. The soil is really, really saturated right now. So anyway, we'll see. I'll kind of make a decision later on. Stick my hand down in the soil and kind of see how it feels before I make that decision. So anyway, there's a lot of options out there: clear plastic, a tarp, move them into the garage. Or just move them under cover of any kind, you know. So anyway, we'll see how that goes. And I hope all you other folks that tried potatoes in containers have been successful. I've done that for many years because it is so easy to harvest them. And it's a lot easier on my back instead of digging them up. So we'll see how it goes there. So anyway, what do we got going on? Now, I told you folks before, next show on September 21st will be the last show for a little while. My wife and I are going to be doing a little bit of winter travel, and we're going to kind of take a wintertime hiatus for Growing a Greener Kenai and be back in probably April. We'll get going the first Saturday of April for twice a month, and I got to talk to the station manager, Jenny, but I might edge in a show like maybe late November or December, and let everybody know what might be some good Christmas gifts for the gardeners in their life. And then maybe a show in February or March, or maybe the last, right after the first of the year, to talk to folks about what they need to be doing, like ordering your seeds and that kind of stuff. But it's pretty much going to be a wintertime hiatus for Growing a Greener Kenai this year. And his schedule was so busy, wasn't able to get Joe Lample on this year, but I've already contacted him. And we're going to set up a show in the spring for Joe Lample of Growing a Greener World. And if you haven't checked out his website, joegardner.com, on YouTube, maybe Growing a Greener World. I just listened. I can't remember how much it cost. It might have just been about $10. But I listened to one of his training sessions on planting a fall garden. Well, I did that because we don't really plant too many fall gardens up here because we're going into winter. Well, he lives in the Atlanta area, Georgia, and they can grow things through the fall and through the winter. Certain items will grow just fine there. But what I did, the reason why I listened to that is I kind of equated his fall gardening to our summer gardening. With the difference of weather, their fall is more like our summers up here. So that's kind of why I did that. And I thought it was a great show. I'll ask Joe to see if he cares if I post that. I need to ask him, see if I can maybe post a link to that on the Growing a Greener Kenai Facebook page, or even on the KDLL Growing a Greener Kenai page. I'll see what I can find out there. So anyway, during this show too, I'm going to talk a little bit later about a recipe that is a wonderful salsa recipe, and I'll talk about that here in just a little bit, and then I will get the recipe posted on the Growing a Greener Kenai Facebook page, and I'll talk to Jenny too and see if we can't maybe start posting some of the things on some of these items like this on the KDLL page. But this is, I'm telling you, I titled this, is called The Best Salsa You'll Ever Eat. It's homemade. It's wonderful stuff. So also coming up here on September 10th, today's the 7th, this would be Tuesday at The Goods, and you know where The Goods is right there at the corner of K Beach and the Sterling Highway. And through the lunch period, I was asked to do, maybe just a little talk to folks so you can come down The Goods, maybe have some lunch. That'll start at noon, and I'm just going to talk about a little bit about what we're doing in our gardens right now to folks that might not get to listen to Growing a Greener Kenai on the air, haven't had a chance to hit the podcast yet. So anyway, that'll be at The Goods on September 10th at noon, and I'll be there, and hopefully we'll have some of our gardening friends there just to generally talk about gardening. And then another thing to let all our listeners know is the Central Peninsula Garden Club monthly programs have started again. Those are always the third Saturday of the month at Kenai Peninsula College from 1 to 2:30, and this very first program is going to be on root cellars. We've got a few folks around here who have root cellars, have dug them, and they're going to let folks know how they work, the pros and cons of them, and they've got to work. I can't remember her name, but when you look at the Extension Center, Heidi Rader, she's got some videos out there, and she's got a friend in Fairbanks, who has a root cellar, and they've had it for years and years and years. So anyway, that might be an interesting program. But root cellars and cold storage, September 21st from 1 to 2:30 p.m. Now, don't forget that September 21st is also Growing a Greener Kenai at 11 a.m. on KDLL 91.9. And also that day is the Harvest Moon Festival. So it is a busy day in the gardening world. So what I sure hope everybody will do is listen to Growing a Greener Kenai first on the 21st, then maybe go to the Garden Club program, then go over to the Harvest Moon Festival. And it's going to be a definitely busy day on the 21st. And, you know, the Harvest Moon Festival, it goes from 11 to 6, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. So there's plenty of time. You take that first hour, listen to Growing a Greener Kenai. You take the next little bit, and that still gives you 3.5 good hours to go to the Harvest Moon Festival that will be at Soldotna Creek Park on the 21st. And it's always a pretty good time. I'm not... I've been asked to do a presentation there, but I gotta check my schedule to see what all is going on there, and see if I've got enough time to get things done. I'm not sure if I will or not. I haven't. And Ann Gravier, part of the Garden Club Board of Directors, asked me to do that, and I'll see if I've got time to get that done. So anyway. Anyway, that's what's coming up here, and it has been a busy summer. I hope all you folks have done well with your garden, and I want to get first right into this salsa recipe. And one of the things I'm going to do is, after the show today, I will get this posted on the Growing a Greener Kenai Facebook page. And like I said, I'll talk to Jenny, and maybe I can start getting these posted on KDLL, Growing a Greener Kenai webpage. So we'll see. But anyway, this is titled The Best Salsa You'll Ever Make. And I got this recipe actually from a cousin in Illinois who loves to garden, and she's a very good gardener. But it is so good. It's just like, oh my gosh, the only thing I did different than what her original recipe is. I'll go through some of the things. You got 7 cups of tomatoes, some onions, some chili pepper, Anaheim, ancho, some jalapenos. Kind of depends on how hot you like it. When you use your jalapenos, finely chopped, if you like it really hot, leave the seeds in. If you don't, take the seeds out. I take the seeds out because my wife doesn't like really, really spicy food. And it's delicious, even not super hot. But you use some garlic, apple cider vinegar, and then some spices. They're listed in the thing. But the only thing different I did that my cousin didn't do, and I think I got her into doing this now, I placed the tomatoes and the peppers in the oven under the broiler and get a little bit of a char on them. And that actually puts that little bit of smoke and char flavor in your salsa. And I'll tell you what, this stuff is so good. And I don't peel my tomatoes when I do this, but I do seed the peppers. So after you get everything roasted, place the tomatoes in a colander and let some of that water drain off of them. This will make your salsa a little bit thicker. And then you place the tomatoes and peppers in a stock pot and blend with a handheld blender or a potato masher or something. But not too much, because depending on how you like your salsa, if you like it thin or if you like it chunky. I like a little few chunks in my salsa. Then you place everything with everything, spices and everything, in a stock pot and cook to boiling, stirring every now and then for maybe 15 or 20 minutes. And then you put it into your cannon jars and you water bath your pints for 15 minutes and 20 minutes for your quarts. Then when you do that, you can alter this recipe. You can alter the spiciness. You can get it just how you like it before canning. But you can also do things that make it your salsa, like adding some corn, beans, or anything else you might like. And I've done a few different ones too. You know, maybe add a little corn, maybe add a few black beans and stuff. But I'm telling you what, this is absolutely fantastic salsa. Like I said, I got to thank my cousin Beth back in Illinois, just on the other side from St. Louis, for giving me this recipe, because it is absolutely a wonderful, wonderful recipe. Okay, and there again, like I said, after the show today, I will get going on getting that posted on the Growing a Greener Kenai Facebook page first, And then hopefully this week we'll figure out how to get some of these recipes posted on the KDLL website. So anyway, how's everybody doing with their garden? It's getting close. There should be a lot of harvesting going on. And one of the things we like to do up here in Alaska is our growing season is so short that we've got to get things in the ground pretty reasonable time in the spring. And I've told you folks before, our green beans in my greenhouse, I grew them in the greenhouse this year, have done wonderful. We've had a lot. We didn't grow enough to really can them, to really preserve them. But we've had plenty of meals off our green beans. They're absolutely wonderful. My corn, I've told you about before, it is looking beautiful, but I just don't know. They're making ears, but I just don't know if there's enough time for the ears to form. Now, I guess I could harvest all those little tiny ears and make salad with them, have those little bitty corns for salad, but we'll have to see. I'm going to let it go as long as I possibly can. They're tasseling out great. The ears are forming, but I just don't know if there's enough time for the ears to complete to maturity. We'll have to see. So that's another one of those things we like to do up here in Alaska, is do what we can to extend our growing season. And a lot of time extending a growing season is a hot box made maybe with some old panes of glass or plastic, cold frame, that's why, like I said, we've got to grow some of these things in a high tunnel or in a greenhouse. And I've said before, you folks, I'm sure, remember that summer not all that long ago when it was hot enough where we had some folks growing corn outdoors and it did pretty well. They did pretty well with that. But I've tried corn outdoors here. I just haven't had any luck with it. It's like it gets up to 2.5 or 3 foot tall and it just stops. It doesn't do anything. But it does well in the greenhouse, you know. So, like I said, my only problem this year is I didn't get it in the ground early enough because of illness, and I won't belabor that anymore. So when you're harvesting your vegetables, one of the things to think about is harvest them early in the morning, because a lot of them retain moisture overnight and they might convert some starches to sugars in the evening, but there's no exact date for when vegetables are ready to harvest. Each vegetable has a different harvest time, and you've got to determine by your experience, or ask a friend if you don't know, on if this is ready to go. And one of the best ways to find out is pull one up. You know, if you got a bunch of carrots, if you've got beet, if you've got whatever, check one out. Taste your vegetables to determine if they're ready. You know, you can do that. In the Midwest, and I think up here, you know, one of the things that we haven't had trouble with up here, like on our green beans, is rust. Well, by growing, and rust, folks, is when the morning dew settles in on your plants, and you pick them, the dew will leave dark spots like on your beans, on your green beans. And I think it'll do it on peas. I can't remember on peas. But anyway, it doesn't hurt anything. It's just an aesthetic thing. And gardeners and farmers who grow for sale, it's hard for them to sell those because they aesthetically don't look nice. So what you do is you pick some of your beans later in the day after that dew has had a chance to evaporate, and then it doesn't leave the rust. But if you pick them while they're wet, sometimes that rust can form. Like I said, it's more prevalent down in the warmer climates. I haven't had that trouble up here ever, but they're always grown indoors. And then when I water, I don't water from the top. I put water down right at the soil and just let it flow through all my plants. And I do that with my corn. I do that with just about everything. It gets watered at ground level. Especially this time of year where the water isn't sitting on the plants, just to prevent any rust or anything like that. So then what you do is, you all know this, is you preserve your harvest by, you can can, freeze, dehydrate, store it, however. One of the things that's came to more prevalence in the recent history is freeze drying. I know my friends Lee and Terrell Brewer, who are, Lee Terrell is on the board of directors of the Garden Club. They've got a really nice Harvest Right dehydrator. And it's really nice. I haven't been able to get myself to buy one yet. They are really expensive. But some of the things they make, they are wonderful. One of the things my wife and I love freeze-dried is corn. We love corn, loose corn, freeze-dried. And it is absolutely wonderful to put in salads, to drop some in a soup if you don't have any frozen corn or canned corn or anything like that. But it works great. It's wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. Freeze-dried corn. And you can actually get that. I'm going to tell you, they've usually got it by a giant can of it at the big box store over in Kenai. I haven't seen it anywhere else besides there. I'm talking about Walmart. But they've got freeze-dried vegetables down one row at Walmart, and I'm assuming they still have it. So anyway, that's where we get our freeze-dried corn, and it is absolutely a wonderful, wonderful stuff. So what are we doing whenever you harvest? One of the things, too, is depending on what you're harvesting, you know, certain root vegetables, I tend to pick those and just brush the soil off. You notice I didn't say dirt. We're talking soil. Dirt's something you get around your neck when you're a kid that your mom makes, and in your crook of your elbow when your mom makes you go take a bath. That's dirt. You got dirt on you. But we're talking about pulling things out of your soil. And like I said, I don't scrub my potatoes at all. I might brush some of the dirt off of, but I leave the dirt on them until it's time to eat them. And then we'll clean the soil off of them. And I've done it both ways. It just seems easier to do this. And if you all have ever dug your potatoes, and if you're not really gentle with them, boy, you will rip that skin. That skin will come right off. It'll just come right off that potato. And that makes them more susceptible to drying out and getting kind of funky. So, like I said, one of the things I'll do is, after I cut my vines, I said I might put them in the garage this year. I leave them down in the soil for weeks on end to let them age, to let those skins get tough, and then I harvest my potatoes. And you don't have to do that so much with some of the other root crops, but potatoes, they can be a little bit delicate if you're not careful. But if you are going to dig them and clean them, just do it with a real soft brush, run them under water, and be real careful with that so you don't rip the skins off of them. But some of those things that you're doing, don't forget you can go to the UAF Extension Center website and get, oh man, a publication on just about anything. And one of the things they do, they've got good videos on how to preserve your harvest, how to take care of it once you harvest it, because that is one of those things that we all work too hard, way too hard, to let things go bad. And that's one of those things that you don't want to let that stuff go to waste. And we've all had that happen. You know, our broccoli did wonderful this year. We harvested that already. Our cauliflower, it didn't do much. I wasn't very good cauliflower this year for me. My beets, my carrots, they are going strong. I've just got a couple of cabbages that did well. It's been tough fighting the slugs this year, hadn't it, folks? We had another really, really wet summer. I've only had to water my garden once this year, due to all the rain we've had. Our peas didn't do very well. They're doing okay now, but I'll tell you what, I don't know what happened. I planted peas, I told you this before, and I had like two pea plants come up. So I've got another crop in, and they're not doing too bad now. They're bush peas. They're not doing too bad now, and they're starting to really produce. And I think I've got plenty of time to get a semi-decent harvest out of them. But it's the first time in a lot of years I've grown bush peas. I've always grown vining peas and had a trellis up. And I think I might go back to those. I know some of our gardeners love the variety from Burpee called Easy Peasy. Well, I tried those this year. And like I said, I planted an entire raised bed of Easy Peasy peas, and I had two peas germinate. And I don't know what happened. You know, I mean, putting a little seed in the ground is not difficult, and they've always come up for me before, but boy, those Easy Peasies, bad luck this year. So I got another variety. And bush pea, and I can't think of what it is right now. And they are doing okay. And like I said, I think I'm going to be able to get a decent harvest of them for a few meals for my wife and I. So that's been a little bit frustrating. And then one of the bean varieties I bought from MI Gardener, and I still haven't let them know this, they absolutely, not a single one of them germinated. Out of like 40 seeds, placed in different locations, some in a bed in my greenhouse and some in containers in my greenhouse, not a single one of them germinated. So I had talked to Casey Matney about that, and he said it sounds like what that is indicative of is seeds that got too hot. He said if they got too hot, and he said hard to tell them either in storage or in shipping, wherever they got their seeds from, wherever. But he says that's indicative of seeds that got too hot. So, and then I got another, and like I said, I can't remember the two varieties. I should have written that down. But I had another variety of vining beans, and I've got them. They're growing fantastic in the greenhouse. But, you know, they're not producing a single bean. I keep a fan going. I don't know what the deal is. The flowering, I've checked everything that I can check, and they're growing great, and they're kind of like one of those two-tone butter beans. So anyway, they are growing fantastic. There was the length of growing season on them was just fine, and they're not doing it. They got a lot of green. I double checked that nitrogen wasn't too high. Something's missing, and that's a point I want to make to you folks, too, is this year, what I'm going to do here coming up pretty soon as the garden winds down, I'm going to go ahead and take a soil sample now, and I'm going to send them into Brookside, and a couple different samples from locations in my greenhouse and my garden, and I'm going to send them in and see what's going on with my soil to see if something wasn't right somewhere for those beans to grow. Now our cukes are doing okay. I finally pulled my yellow squash plant. We had more squash than two people need. My wife has dehydrated some. She's froze some. We've got some left. We're going to shred and put in gallon zipper bags in the freezer, get some of the moisture out. But we had one yellow squash plant in the greenhouse that was absolutely prolific, amazing. My tomatoes are starting to ripen. All I grew was cherry tomatoes this year. They're ripening up okay. And it's hard. I don't hardly get them into the house because I stand out in the greenhouse and I eat them. Our herbs did wonderful this year. My green onions, I still got green onions going strong. Getting ready to harvest a bunch of them and maybe dehydrate some of them for future use. Cucumbers, I planted, did one of the English cucumbers this year, and they are doing well. They're vining up the trellis and giving us some wonderful taste and very mild cucumbers. Those are fine. But it's been quite the year for outdoor gardening. And I did have some of my beds, like I said, due to illness, that I wasn't able to plant this year. So I'm getting ready. I'm going to clean them up. I'm going to get everything ready for next year, and we'll see how that goes. And there's a lot to do this time of year in the gardening world. Believe it or not, getting ready for next year already, harvesting, preserving, and we'll see. Hopefully you folks are having a successful time with that too. So we've been talking about harvesting. We're talking about the end of the season. And I had a few tips I wanted to give you on items that don't tolerate frost and should really be harvested before a frost strikes. And now a couple of these we don't really have to worry about, like tomatoes. Most of us are growing tomatoes in a greenhouse, and they'll get cold, but they shouldn't get frostnipped. But the list includes, you know, like, let me think, a zucchini, peas, beans, winter squash, and pumpkins. These all should be pulled out before a frost hits, and be sure to get the double check to make sure nothing that you're pulling out is diseased. If it is, don't put it in your compost pile. Burn everything or discard them in the trash. And then there are hardy vegetables, which can tolerate frost, sometimes pretty heavy frost, 25 to 28 degrees. They can be left in the ground, and we know we've got quite a few things that taste better after a frost. And one of those things is Brussels sprouts. Now, I got to tell you, I still haven't been able to get Brussels sprouts to sprout up. They get little tiny, and I was checking out some YouTube pages of some other Alaska gardeners, and that's what they showed a video of their Brussels sprouts in their garden, and they said they didn't sprout up again, you know, which is really frustrating, you know. So anyway, I think I'm giving up on Brussels sprouts unless I can find the secret of some of these Brussels sprouts. I'm probably going to give up on Brussels sprouts. But greens like kale and collards, they get a little bit sweeter in the fall and winter when touched by a little bit of frost. Broccoli can get a little bit sweeter. I wanted to leave my broccoli in a little bit longer, but they were starting to kind of go to flower, so I didn't take a chance on those, and I went ahead and pulled those, as I told you before. Some of the other vegetables, they'll tolerate a light frost, like maybe 29, right at 32 degrees, which, if you remember a few years ago, we had one of those in July up here. So if you've got some of these in a cold frame, floating row cover, or if they're out, but cabbages and Swiss chard, they can withstand a light frost, but, you know, the outside leaves of them might get a little bit damaged and tough, but you just peel them away. But arugula, leeks, mustard greens, cauliflower, kohlrabi can die during unprotected periods of really extreme cold weather, so a simple row cover can make all that difference. The root crops, like carrots, turnips, beets, rutabagas, parsnips, they can remain in the ground after a frost and still be removed later. But you gotta, up here, you gotta get them dug before the ground freezes. Now, we do have one garden member. This is really cool. She harvests her carrots all winter long. And what she does is she's got her carrot beds. She cuts the tops off of them and leaves them in the ground. And she's got blankets and foam, and she stacks all this stuff up, a layer like a lasagna of insulation over her carrots. And then, boy, I'll tell you what, she'll have a foot and a half or 2 foot of snow on her garden, and she takes her grandkids out there, and they harvest carrots. And I'll tell you what, it's really pretty cool. She's sent me a bunch of pictures of that from years past, and she gets fresh carrots. And that's one of the things in other parts of the country where you go grow carrots. A lot of times you can leave them in the ground all winter in certain parts of the country. You might put a little straw on top of them, but if you live somewhere where the ground doesn't freeze bad, you can do this. And like I said, you can do it up here. You just have to plan for it. And like I said, she insulates, her and her husband insulate thick, and they'll go out through the winter and get fresh, fresh carrots. And when you do this also, it's like I said, when you age potatoes underground, the skins toughen, and it'll even give them a longer storage time. So that works pretty well. But and another thing that I've talked about a lot is potatoes. Those can stay in the soil, but be sure, again, don't leave them on the soil surface because they will turn green and get that solanine in them. They're no good to eat, bad taste, and they're dangerous. Probably not, they might make an adult sick, but I don't know what they might do to a child who would eat those. So be sure they're covered up good. But you can leave them underground, boy, for weeks and weeks and weeks. And you know what's really funny is, have you ever watched some of the videos, and some of you folks may have experienced this, whenever you're digging your potatoes, and if you rotate the areas where you're growing something, and then next year a potato just happens to come up when you didn't plant them there, those are just some potatoes that were able to winter over. They might have got colder and all get out, but they still popped up. So that ought to be a little hint on how potatoes can do and how certain things can do underground. So one of the things, too, that we talk about is as we're getting into winter, and while I'm thinking about it, I want to mention, too, is if you do a lot of canning, pressure canning, you know, one of the things the Extension Center does is they will check the accuracy of your pressure canner dial, your pressure dial. So it's always nice to, that's a free service. They will do that and make sure that your pressure gauge is working properly, that nothing is going wrong with your canning. So that's one of the things to do. And we all should know where their office is down on K Beach by Fishing Game. They'll do, they're a great resource. As I've said before more than once, Casey has probably forgotten more than I will ever know. He's just an absolute incredible, incredible resource for all of us gardeners in this area. So now we're getting into what are we going to do for our garden to be ready for next year. You know, now it's kind of hard to believe. I do this right. I'm already sitting there thinking about what I want to do next year. So one of the things I'm going to do next year, do I want to give up on the easy peasy bush peas? I don't know if I'm going to give up on them, but if I grow those next year, I'm going to grow both types of peas. I'm going to grow those bush beans, and then I'm going to grow a vining bean, because I have had nothing but good luck with them growing up a trellis and harvesting. Peas enough to last my wife and I all winter long. And that is one of those things, like we said before, you can have failures not always that bad because it helps you become more successful in the future. But it's kind of also kind of one of the things is like, why didn't my peas come up? It's a very simple process, you know, putting a pea in the ground, making sure it's moist and letting it sprout. Why didn't my peas sprout? I don't know. Was it, as Casey said, did they get hot? In transit, in storage somewhere, and it hurt their germination rate. I don't know. It's one of those things. So I got these off the shelf at one of our local stores. They're the Burpee Easy Peasy. I have no idea what happened. Like I said, I feel like I'm, you know, I don't know if I'd call myself an expert gardener, but for a lot of years, I've been putting seeds in the ground and having them grow, and I've had two this year, those beans and those easy peasy peas, that they didn't do anything. So that is a quandary for me that I'm going to try and find out, and that's another reason why I am getting a soil sample now and sending it in and see what's going on with my soil. And there's plenty of time, but I want to get my samples done, taken, dried out, and at least collected before we start getting snow and cold weather and the potential for the ground freezing. So I'm doing that early this year and seeing what the status is with my garden soil, and see if there's anything I missed or if there's anything I need to do to have a more successful garden next year. And we'll just have to see how it goes. I'll let you folks know how that goes. I can put it on, if I'm not doing a show, I can put it on the Growing a Greener Kenai website and maybe even on the KDLL website and let folks know. Which is also one thing that I want to remind everybody is, you know, if there's anything you'd like to ask, and I may not have the answer, but you can always send a message to Growing a Greener Kenai at KDLL.org, and just with some general comments. Or if there's something you'd like to have talked about, like early in the season, we had somebody wanted to talk about growing raspberries, so I did a show on raspberries. Well, you can shoot me a text at 907-513-6169 with some ideas of some of the things you might like to hear and learn about on Growing a Greener Kenai. And there again, I may not be able to answer the question, but we've got so many wonderful gardeners in the area that I can get one of them on the show again, and we can talk about some of those things. So anyway, think about that. Think about what you might want to hear discussed on the show. And I'll, like I said, if I can't talk about it comprehensively, I can find somebody who can talk about it comprehensively. So we'll see what goes there. So now we're getting into the last part of the year, and we're getting into the fall and winter to-do list. So one of the things it's time to start doing is get your crop residues from your garden plots. Almost all your crop residue can be composted. Getting all that stuff out of your garden helps prevent disease and insect pests, such as maybe root maggots, from overwintering and returning. Now, one of the things I have mentioned to you folks before is I used to have a chipper shredder, and I wasn't really that pleased with it. It did fine, but I'd like to get something different, because this one was a chipper and a shredder. It would do like tree branches up to a couple of inches, and I just didn't have that much to do. I was more using it for dumping all my crop residue down into it and chunking that up. Well, it was a semi-decent sized unit, and I think I can do that with something smaller. But what I've been doing this year is I've been taking my crop residue, and I got a compost pile that I've been turning and everything. Well, what I do is I stack all that stuff up right next to the compost pile, and I drive over it with my lawnmower. And it goes out the chute side, and it blows it right into the compost pile. And then if some stuff blows around, just rake it into the compost pile. Because when you grind that stuff up, it composts so much faster that, I could have thrown that entire whole yellow squash plant into the compost pile and mixed it in there. Well, it's going to take that considerable time to compost. So I ran over it with the lawnmower, and that chunks it up into little bitty pieces, and it threw it into my compost pile. And that's what I've been doing now. And if I've got a riding mower that I do that with, but in the past I've also done it with my push mower with the little bag on it. My riding mower, the stuff tends to plug up the chute with my riding mower, so that's why I stack it there and just let it blow right onto the compost pile. But with my push mower, I can use that with the little bagger on the end, and it'll fill that bagger up with chunked up, ground up crop residue, and that works pretty well, because it's going to help your compost pile work so much faster. This last time, I even threw our kitchen waste on there. We had your regular organic kitchen waste. I threw it in that pile, and I ran over it with the lawnmower. So, you know, the old banana peel, everything that was in the kitchen, on the kitchen waste, it went in there, and it got chunked up real small pieces, and went into the compost pile, and it worked great. So that's one of the things to think. And then another thing you need to do here is, if you've got depending on if you've still got them growing or anything in there. Like I said, don't want you to take them off too early if you've got a few things like a little row cover or anything like that. But it's getting time to take your poles out, your trellises, any portable frames. It's not worth letting them go through the winter and potentially collapse. I leave my little hoops in place, but I take the covers off. And all my plastic is cut to the right size for those hoops. So I take those off, I fold them up, and they get put in a safe place where out of the sun and everything, where they're not going to get brittle or anything like that. So, you know, you can get things repaired now that might need to be fixed, and get everything ready to go for next year. And sometimes that's tough to do, especially working all the time in the pouring rain. But that also is one of the things to remind folks of. We're getting really close to the time for planting your garlic, some other perennials, some bulb plants. We're getting awful close to that. Now, I was going to order a new batch of bulbs, and I went in, and I didn't realize this. I'd never ordered from this company before. But I got my order ready to go, and it tells me, I didn't check, it tells me, we can't ship to Hawaii or Alaska. And I was like, well, God darn it, the prices were wonderful. So now I got to look around again and get something in. But I got to do that pretty quick now, because it's about time to think about planting those things. And that's another one of the things, if you've got your perennials out, if they're cut back already, if they're still doing well, it's time to start thinking about insulating around some of the sensitive perennials. And, you know, you want to get those. You can use about anything. You can use grass clippings or leaves, or even better, some straw and weed-free hay. Hay works okay, but hay is typically going to have more seeds in it, which you might have to fight that growing in your garden the next year. So I'm hoping after the show today, when I get done in the studio, I'm going to head home, and it's time, I think, to I'm going to cut down my peonies and get them down to the ground. I've got some straw, and last year I put wood chips on top of my peonies, and they did okay, but they've always done better in years past, and it's just because I had all these wood chips. They did okay, but they do. I've noticed they've done better in years past, covered in straw, and I put a good thick layer of straw over them. But I'm also, what I'm going to do in the area, and you need to be real careful of this, is a couple years ago I planted some jonquils in between my peonies. Well, I'm going to dig those jonquils up. I'm digging them up here. Like I said, I'm hoping maybe to get that done this afternoon or this weekend, and get those out of the ground and relocate them somewhere else. Because I didn't like them in there as much as possible, because I want to look at something to put a weed barrier in after I cut them down, where they grow next year. They'll grow up through that weed barrier, and I won't have as much grass and other junk growing in with those peonies. And I also want to get them supported a little bit better for next year too. They're doing fine. I got my roots from Cool Cash Farms, and they've done wonderful. And I'm gonna bet that Cool Cash is gonna have a booth at the Harvest Moon Festival. They do typically every year. Wayne and Patty Floyd, they boy, talk about peony experts. Peony or peony, there again, it's, I'm not sure which one. In the Midwest, we call it peonies. Up here, it's peony. However you want to say it, we all know what flower we're talking about, though. And that's what the right thing is. But anyway, yeah, they're doing wonderful over the years. Gosh, I think I planted those at our house, got those from Wayne and Patty, about 5 years ago now, maybe six. I'll have to ask my wife. Whatever year we had built the deck on the back of the house, that's the year I planted those peony roots. And I just can't remember what that is, but it's been at least 4 years. I know, maybe 5 years. But they're doing wonderful. We got three white ones and two red ones. No, three red ones and two white ones, and we did them every other, a red one, a white one, red one, white one, red one. Five plants across the back of the deck, and they look really nice there. And I'd really like to ask, I'd love to go talk to Wayne and Patty and learn how to potentially, and I could check YouTube, I guess, too, on how to split those to get some more going, to get some of those more peonies going on at our house just from the ones we've got. So anyway, it's, you need to think about, depending on how your garden's doing, like I said, I'm going to hold off. One of the things a lot of people do is they put a top dressing of compost on their beds this time of year. I'm going to wait till spring after my soil samples come back. I'm building my compost pile that will get covered. And it's this time of year, my wife always laughed at me. This time of year, I call it leaf sucking season. I put the bagger on my riding mower, and I go up and down our street almost on a daily basis to get all the leaves that are right on the edge of the road. And I'll go down our street, I'll fill up my bagger, and then I take them back and I dump them close to my compost pile. And then the next day there's more leaves. I do the same thing, and I get this big old pile of fresh dropped leaves. And then for the winter, I put a tarp over them. Well, by spring, they are dry. They're dried leaves, and they become the brown component of my compost pile as I build it next year. And, you know, because if you're using fresh leaves, those become a green component of your pile. So I let them dry out, and then I've got good brown for the brown carbon in my compost pile, and it works well, and it's easy to do. You can even do it with a push mower if you want to, and bag them up. You just got to make a few more trips to your pile. I've had some of my neighbors, hey, do you care if I suck up all your leaves? And most of them are more than happy to let me do that. But it's just as easy to go through down the edge of each street, down the way, and because the next day those leaves will be right there again, and it's so easy to do, and it's one of those things that helps make a better garden for the next year. But you can do your compost pile. Be sure to empty your buckets, your watering cans. It's getting awful close to time where I'm going to be blowing some air through my water system that goes out to my garden, and I'm going to do that pretty quick because there's not much more out there that needs watering. We've been getting enough rain. Like I said, I've only watered one time this summer. One of our other gardening friends, I think she said she did it twice so far this year. But it's one of those things where it's time to do that, and I've got the time to do it. So I use a compressor and blow it out, and it'll be okay. You don't want to let that stuff, that water sit in your system. And then what I do once I blow all the water out, I use a little bit of that RV antifreeze stuff. I pour it in at the heading of my water system and blow it all through the system. I've done that for years, and I've never had any problems with the next year with my system. And it just helps protect that. Like I said, you do too much work to not do that maintenance like that. So, all right, folks, you know that little bit Octopus's Garden theme. We're at the end of the show. Boy, it went really fast today. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget about Harvest Moon in a couple of weeks. Don't forget about Growing a Greener Kenai in a couple of weeks. And don't forget about the Garden Club show at Kenai Peninsula College. The entrance is right by where those big old moose sculptures are. That's where you go into KPC, the building's on the right. It'll be root cellars and cold storage for this first program. You've got time to do it all. Growing a Greener Kenai, the Garden Club program, and the Harvest Moon Festival. So, all right, folks, I would like to thank you again for listening to Growing a Greener Kenai. I hope you had a good time. Hope you learned something. And I still enjoy doing this. A big thanks to Jenny and KDLL for letting me do this show. I hope, like I said, I hope you're enjoying it and learning a few things. And I'll be back in a couple of weeks. And then remember, we're going to take a wintertime hiatus for a while. May get a couple shows in there, but we'll have to see. All right, folks. Well, thanks again for listening. This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Seoul.net. We will see you next time.